they say Kadesh, Shurchatz. So it's really not a babyish thing. It's really going through the 15 stages. There are 15 stages if you read. If you look, there's 15 stages. And each stage, 15 stages correspond to, let's say, 15 Shir Amalos. Correspond to the 15 steps going up to the Azor, the Beis HaMikdash. 15 represents, right, it's a Tet Vav. The Zohar calls it Tziyud HaShleimusa. It's when the moon is filled, and a lot of the Chagim, and every Chag that doesn't fall out on Tet Vav, it's a Kasha. Why is it not on Tet Vav, like Hanukkah? Why is it so late in the month? But we have Sukkot, and we have Pesach, we have Tu Bav, we have Tu Bishvat. The Tet Vav Purim is the Siyur Dishlemusa, which is the 15, as it says, Kibika Hashem Tzulimim. With the Yud Hey, Hashem created the world. The Yud Hey represents Hashem's hidden. With the Vav Hey is Hashem revealed in this world. The Yud Hey is Hashem hidden in this world. And our goal in our lives is to make a Dir B'Tachtonim, to reveal the Yud Hey, to reveal the 15 levels of Kedusha. These levels are, we don't have time to go in right now, but all these levels. And Ravuri will talk about it on a psychological level later. All these are levels of our life. As the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz came to Eretz Yisrael from Europe, and he asked somebody, "How are you doing?" And he noticed that everyone said, "Hakol b'seder, Hakol b'seder." He says, "Wow, the Jews like they really mean it here." Hakol b'seder. He thought he didn't understand what they were talking about. Hakol b'seder, everything's fine. He kept on thinking that everyone's saying everything in the seder. I mean, how am I doing? It depends on my seder. That's how I'm doing. Hakol b'seder. That there's so much in the Seder, so much of our shkafa, of our outlook into our year, just like Yom Kippur, we talk about, you know, the judgment for the year, and Rosh Hashanah, the judgment for the year. Purim on a certain level, every chag is done in its prayers. Now we're done on our shkafa. How do we look at Hashem's control over the world, Hashem's world? And if we get it at the Pesach Seder, that Hashem runs everything, then a kol b'seder. Everything's okay. Why? Because I call the Seder. Everything's the Seder. Everything's in the Seder, and everything's in order, and Hashem's doing what He should be doing. So we'll see it together, and I'll just say one story, and then we'll move on in the Kadesh Urchatz Karvas Yachatz Magid Rafza Motzi Masa Maror story. I hope that there's one thing that people love, it's the Siddurim, a good, nice story, short, sweet story. This story is found in the Bnei Yisasar, Rav Elimelech of Dinov, Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov. Dinov, anybody who remembers in Rimanov, Rimanov's Talmud was Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, and he really was the mind of Hasidus, Rav Tzvi Elimelech. The Sefer is basically a lumdus on Hasidus. And he says a story. Usually he's not a story type person. I mean, at least in the Sefer, he's not a story type person. But in the Seder, he tells a story. The town of Berdichev, the day after the Seder, you know, like the good Jewish Yentas, they went to the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, and they said, "Rebbe, who had the holiest Seder in Berdichev last night?" Because Levi Yitzchak used to walk around the streets Seder night, take a stroll, listen to people's Siddurim, and take great nachas, and say to Hashem, "Look at your people. Who had the highest Seder?" So they said, "Was it the Dayan? Was it the Rebbe? Was it this?" He says, "No, it was Moshele the drunk." So he said, "No, it was Moshele the drunk. It's Moshele the drunk. Moshele the drunk? More than you, Rebbe, you must have hit the highest spheres in your Seder. Who is Moshele the drunkard? He had the highest Seder. He probably didn't even have a Seder. He probably drunk the whole Seder to have a Seder. How could it be that it was Moshele the drunkard?" So he says, "Let me tell you. This is what happened to Moshele the drunkard last night. There was Pesach, and his wife said, 'Okay, here's some money we saved up. Go get matzahs. Go get grape juice, don't even get wine, because you can't handle it. Juice, and we'll get more, we'll get a little meat that we can eat.
And we'll have a beautiful Seder with the kids, because every year you're too drunk, and the kids can't even enjoy a Seder because you just put your head down and you go to sleep. But this year, and he promised his wife, I promise you. And he looks at his kids, and he says, kids, we're going to have a beautiful Seder like everybody else in the town. It's not going to be like the other years. So he went with his few kopecks to get the stuff for the Seder. And then as he was going, he passed a tavern, and he sniffs. He smells alcohol. He's a real addict, Nebuch, Lo'aleinu. He says, okay, I have a few kopecks. Okay, one kopeck. It's the last, you know, I can't get beer on Yantif. I'll get a little beer. One kopeck of beer. That was enjoyable. Okay, I have a few kopecks. I think I can still get for the Seder. Okay, some scotch. No, I'm not going to have that on Pesach, right? There was no plum brandy then. So I'm not going to have whiskey on Pesach here. Another kopeck for that. And on and on and on until he had no kopecks left. And he was drunk as anything. It was getting later and later at night. And his family was waiting for him. Everybody was going to shul. And everyone looked beautiful. And the kids. And the father started coming home. And the kids are waiting for Moshe to come home. Moshe, the father, didn't come home. Said, Ima, where's Abba? Where's Tati? Don't worry, this year he's going to come home. I gave him the kopeck, he promised us. Promises of promises, he's going to come home. Got later and later and later. They had nothing. Everyone fell asleep. Moshe stumbles into the house. 12 o'clock at night, right before Chatzos. He stumbles in the house, and his wife looks up and says, ah, you ruined again, Moshe. Thank you. Ruined again for the children. Why don't you go to sleep, clean yourself up, I can't look at you. He says, no. We're going to have a Seder now. She says, oh, you have stuff for the Seder? I have nothing. You have nothing? I messed up again. I have nothing. But go wake up the kids. I'm going to wake up the kids. We're going to have a Seder. But there's no mora, there's no matzah, there's no grape juice, there's nothing. There's no lettuce. We don't have anything. He said, he wakes up his kids. He goes, kids, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I messed up again. Please come to the table. Please come to the table. And he says, his wife, please come to the table. And everyone came to the table. His kids were crying again. Because he never said to his kids, I want to tell you something. I know we have no matzah. And I know we have no wine. And I know we don't have mar. And we don't have charoset. We have nothing. But I want to tell you something. Hashem loves you. And Hashem is going to help me. I know I have big problems. But Hashem is going to help us get through this. Because Hashem is one in the world. And we have to rely on Hashem, and I'm going to daven so hard to Hashem. And just remember, children, I know we have nothing. There's only one Hashem in the world. Hashem is everything, and there's only one Hashem in the world. So Levi Yitzchak says, everyone else was getting caught up into their vorts, and their pulpulim, and the Divrei Torah, which is, again, all very nice, and the shiurim, and the this, and the that, and the... But Moshe remembered that everyone forgot the main thing of the Seder. To come to Hashem is one. Echad mi yodea, echad ani yodea. That's the end. We end with Chagadia. At the end of Chagadia, what do we say? The Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'shachad HaMalchut. Through all this whole story, where is God? Where is God? God, the Holocaust happened. Where are you? God, this is happening. Where are you? God, another terrorist kills a Jewish person. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? The Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come. As the Chiddush Arim says, Leila Seder is that there's a Seder in the world. And we have to go through that Seder. This Golus, this Tzoros, this Yeshuas, everything is part of the Seder. Everything is part of the Seder. And that's the Emunah. It's the night of Emunah where we say, Hashem, hold on. And what's the main part? Baruch Shomer HaBtachas of Yisrael, we say in Agada, that Hashem keeps His Brisbane Absarim. Hashem will come through. V'yisha Amdolah V'seinu V'yom. That Hashem, He came through then, He's going to come through now, and He's going to bring the final Geula. But also Osamu. You're going to come, and it's a night of Emunah. And if we miss that message, we could have a beautiful Seder, but we miss the main message. At least Moshe the drunk got the message that it's a night of Emunah. It's a night that the Leila Seder, that we realize that this is Seder in the world, and we say at the end of Chagadiyah, the Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come. As He promised Avinu B'Rish Ben Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come. There's a Seder to it. We have to hold on. We came in a very little point of history. There's a big, big world, and there's a big, big, big thing happening to all. And that's a Leila Seder.
We start the Seder with Kaddish. And Kaddish really serves a dual function. Of course, Kaddish is Kiddush, which we make every Shabbos and every Yontif. And special for Leila Seder, Kaddish is also the first of the Arba Kosos that we have at the Leila Seder. The Kaddish cannot be begun. A person cannot make Kiddush until Seis HaKochavim. Okay, usually, oftentimes we make Kiddush, we make earlier Shabbos Yontif, but special for the Seder night because of the fact that the other mitzvahs alayla cannot be done until after Seis HaKochavim, and perhaps because of the fact that it's also one of the four cups, so therefore, you cannot make Kiddush until after Seis HaKochavim. Although, as we mentioned before, the Seder should be started as quickly as possible after Seis HaKochavim. The four cups in general, for Kaddish as well, so they of course have to hold a revius, at least a revius of wine. How much is a revius? People love to talk about shiurim on Pesach. So our first shiur. So me'ikar adin, the shiur of a revius is 86 milliliters. If you want a good way to remember it, it's the gematria of the word kos. Okay, gematria of the word kos, that's what we hold me'ikar adin. I brought it for show and tell, just so you get a sense. Okay, this kos, maybe it looks a little bigger than it really is because of the stand, so it's tall, but it's slightly more than 86, I don't know, maybe it's 90. Okay, you can pass it around in case anyone wants to get a sense. There are those who are machmir, and according to the claim that the shiurim are really much bigger, so the chumrah opinions hold, the Moshe Feinstein's version of the chumrah is 130, everyone holds that this is a chumrah, not maker adin. This is a cup that's approximately 130, a little more than 130. And the Chazanish version of the Chumrah is 150 milliliters. This cup is a little bit bigger than 150. Okay, slightly bigger, so you get a sense of what we're talking about. Okay, so your cup has to hold at least the Revius, at least the, again, Me'ikar Adin, 86 milliliters. How much do you have to drink? So again, Me'ikar Adin, we really hold, you have to just drink Rov Revius. Malon Lugma, a cheekful, just like any other Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, Rova of a Revius. However, some Rishonim held that a person should drink the whole cup, or at least Rov Kos. So, we pass in the Halacha Maker Adin, Rov Revius. Okay, so if a person has trouble drinking more than that, that's fine. He can just drink Rov Revius, a cheekful. Okay, and that's good enough. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if possible, a person should try to drink Rov Kos, most of the cup. If that's very difficult, then don't use such a big cup. Okay, and you can use a little bit of a smaller cup, and you'll be able to drink Rov Kos. Good. How do we drink? How are we going to drink it? Heseba. A person has to make sure to do so Heseba. We'll discuss that in a moment, what's Heseba. But a person has to make sure to do Heseba. If you don't drink it be'seba, so then for the first two cups, you may need to drink it again. There is a preference for red wine. However, there's also a preference for good wine. Because that's cheirus, is to have a good quality wine. So if the white wine is better than the red wine, so you can use the white. Okay, but if all things being equal, there would be a preference for red. What about grape juice? So there's a little bit of a discussion when it comes to grape juice. Is grape juice acceptable? There are some who claim that maybe one should not use grape juice. There are Moshe Feinstein's quoted as having adopted that position. However, most of the posts hold that grape juice is totally acceptable for the four cups. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik even thought that if a person likes grape juice better, then it's preferable to use grape juice because that is derech cheirus. The four cups are meant to go and express our cheirus that we're free and privileged on this night. And that's expressed through drinking what you like to drink. So certainly, if a person, I would say like this, if a person likes wine and grape juice both, so let him use wine. Might as well use wine. Anyway, there's a preference to use high quality wine, so wine in general is considered to be higher quality than grape juice. If a person doesn't like wine, you can drink grape juice, and certainly if a person is going to get drowsy and not be able to fulfill the Seder properly, he can definitely use grape juice. Some Gedolei HaDor themselves use grape juice, and sometimes what people do is if they want to also add a little bit of wine, so they mix in a little bit of wine, and then they do it that way. When it comes to the Heseba, So a person as well, we mentioned, the person has to go ahead and to recline. The Soloveitchik was of the opinion that you have to recline on something. Not just enough to be the leaning tower of whatever you are. So you have to lean onto something. Soloveitchik. Okay? So he thought, so if you're not using a chair with an armrest, so you can turn your body and lean against the back of the chair.
You know the trick.
Okay.
The trick.
What's the trick?
Turn your chair sideways.
Yeah.
Just like this?
Okay, your Sherman has a good trick. You can turn either yourself or the chair. Either way, as long as you're leaning on it. Okay?
Noted.
Like if it works with the etiquette, you can lean on the table. You can lean on the guy next to you if he appreciates that. You can lean on Shuxi like Ben. Okay, so make sure you go ahead and to do that. And to do that bit. Say, well. And then we have a double expression of cheres, the drinking of the wine and the drinking be'seba. Just to mention one beautiful idea. There is an idea that you're allowed to add extra cups if a person wants, between the first and second cup of wine and the second and third. You're not allowed to add between the third and the fourth. Why not? So the Maharal explains that the four cups are connected to four lishonos hakeruah. So the first three, be'seba, be'talti, be'galti, those are different stages of freedom from slavery. What's the fourth? I'm going to take you as my nation and I'll be your God, Hashem says. So, says the Maharal, there cannot be a hefsek between the physical geula and the spiritual geula. They're two sides of the same coin. If there's any separation between them, then we're missing the point. The whole point of physical geula and emancipation from slavery is to be able to have spiritual geula and to be able to fill our life with meaning.
David.
We want without a bracha. What is the point of workas? Why do we do workas? So, really, this is part of a larger idea. There's a halachic concept involved here. It's called Dovar Shetibulo B'mashke. Dovar Shetibulo B'mashke, which means something, a food item that you dipped in liquid and you're eating with your hands. You're eating it with your hands. And it's wet with liquid. So the Gemara says that you always have to wash Netilas Yadayim before you eat Dovar Shetibulo B'mashke. So if you take a carrot stick and you dip it in dip, you have to wash Netilas Yadayim before you do that. Why do you have to wash Netilas Yadayim? So many Rishonim hold that this is a Takana D'Rabbanan comparable to washing before bread. And they say you make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim, and it's based on the Tumah Tahara factor. Similar to washing before bread because of truma, whatever the case may be. Tosas held that this was not a special takana d'rabbanan, not a formal takana d'rabbanan. It was just as a hero, so that people who wanted to eat all their food b'tahara. Sim kain, you don't make a bracha and b'chlap b'zman hazeh. We're all tummy anyway. We don't really eat our food b'tahara. So in Shulchan Aruch, we really pass the pesach of the Shulchan Aruch is that since it's machlokas arishonim, a person should always wash for a davar shetibulo b'mashke, but without a bracha. The gra actually passing the halacha to make a bracha. And this is all year round. This has nothing to do with Pesach. If you go ahead and you wash an apple and you eat it with your hands while it's still wet, so according to the gra, you wash and make continuous yadayim. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that really, even though many people are... Lamaisa, the Olam is no Iglahaka on this issue. People mostly just don't do it. But the Mishnah Berurah even thinks that a person really, really should do it, and even though it's not so posh, the one would make a bracha, a person really should do it. So most people just don't do it year-round, but Leila Seder we do. So why is that? So the Taz writes that he thinks it's really just because people are not aware that it's Allah all year-round, and it's printed in the Haggadah. So people remember when it comes to Leila Seder, but really, it's a funny thing that we only do it on Leila Seder, and most people don't do it all year round. Is there any possible way to explain for those who are knowing to be makil and not to do it the whole year round, and dafka on Leila Seder we do it? So the Netziv has the following idea. He says, on the Leila Seder, we try as best as we can to go ahead and to arrange things in the ideal fashion. You know that our Seder, as beautiful as it is really totally lacking. Because what are we missing? Karim Pesach. Karim Pesach, that's the real Ikar HaMitzvah. That's the main thing. we're missing the main event, Karban Pesach. But we're trying as best we can to have a Seder like we would have in the Zman HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, everyone agrees that. Even Tosafot would agree that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, people would wash for a Davar Shetibula B'mashke, like the Gemara says. So therefore, Dafka Al Lela Seder, even those who are making all year round, which could be it's a nice thing to pick up to wash, but even those who are making all year round, so on the night of the Lela Seder, we go ahead and we wash without a bracha. Some families, they know that only the Bala Seder, only the Bala Bayis washes, no one else washes. In many, many families, everybody washes, and it would seem that if you're not sure what your minhag is, that would be the better minhag to adopt, that everybody should wash without the bracha.
Okay, Karbas.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm here to share with you some interesting factoids, some points of interest, the two points of the Seder this evening, the Karbas that we have right now.